Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Carolina Borges. I'm the podcast editor here. Today, I'm here with one of our columnists, Piper, and we will be discussing her piece about the infamous Penn alumni, Luigi Mangione. Piper, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hey, guys. I'm Piper. I'm a freshman studying in the college. I just joined Penny in my first semester here. It's been a great experience. So, yeah, I'm very excited.
Awesome. So I just want to say, great article. And, you know, I think that it would be really interesting to hear kind of just like what the response has really been to the article and like just kind of anything that you kind of want to like defend about your piece. So I have a couple questions for you. So for one, just like kind of in general, like when you published the piece, what was kind of like the response to it in the first place?
Honestly, the most response I get is from my parents. So obviously it's like, this is amazing. Nothing's wrong with it. My friends seemed to really like it. I thought it was a very relevant topic. Right when it happened, like this was like right during break. So like slacked Jack and I was like, I have to write about this when it happens. But as far as response, like it's been relatively positive. I think people generally agree with the message, which I think is hard because I know that like the people that I'm talking about in the article, I am one of them. Like, the article is not at all to, like, shame people for idolizing these people. I think it's a very natural thing. And I think when you see these very attractive people, we all have, like, implicit bias. And so I just kind of wanted to, you know, take that on as a victim of the kind of mindset. But, yeah, I think the response has been relatively positive.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's so funny because right when like this kind of all happened, I was like literally right in the heat of finals and I get this call from my friend who goes to Brown and she was like, did you see? And I like, no context, love her to death, but no context. I was like, did I see what? Like, yeah. I just got out of two back-to-back exams. Like, no, I haven't been looking at my phone. She was like, he goes there. And I was like, who? And she was like, the assassin, he went to Penn. No. And I was like, she was like, and he's hot. And I was like, oh my God, like, I cannot take this right now. I literally like hung up the phone with her and I was like, we'll deal with this later. But like, I think that it's so interesting to see kind of, I mean, not that it's like new or anything, the way that people are responding to it, but I think it's funny to just see like how many people like had such an immediate reaction like before like, you know, anything else. It was like, oh my God, but he's hot.
Yeah, no. And like, I mean, I had the same reaction too. Like before I even knew the identity of him when it was just a mask, like I remember my friend showing me that picture and being like, and he's hot. And it's hot. Like, not another one. Like, oh God, this happens all the time.
I know.
And I think it's just so much easier for the public to hate someone that's like not attractive, which is, I don't know what that says about our society. But yeah, it was, I mean, I feel like the article definitely got very deep. And I feel like Luigi, like not only are people talking about how attractive he is, but I feel like lately, as a chronically online person, he's like become this sort of like subgenre of internet where people are using him, not only that he's attractive, but they're using him as sort of like a anti-government, like let's take this back. Especially like his words that were on the bullet, allegedly.
Yeah.
What was it? Deny, depose, defend.
Defend.
Right,
there
right.
You go.
And I think people are using like that and against like, especially with the TikTok ban, they're like kind of looping him in with that because kind of like an anti-government, like what's happening, you know, did Trump save TikTok? Is this all like propaganda, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I also think that it was really interesting kind of in terms of like kind of along those same lines when at first, I remember I saw it at first on like the weekend update for SNL and they were like, oh, well, like he's so like anti-capitalist, but he went to Starbucks and McDonald's like before and after he like did those things.
Right.
And then it became like the whole thing of like, well, he had like the Monopoly money in his backpack.
Yeah.
Like, it's all symbolic and all this stuff. And it's like, or he was just there. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. And like so I'm a health and society student. So like definitely I know about health inequity. Mm-hmm. I'm very passionate about it too. But I think when that happened, I kind of was like, okay, but what's the impact here? What kind of impact are we making with this? And I think maybe it has started some conversation, but like we talk about in the article, most of the conversation, at least that I see surrounding him, is definitely not about what it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of like along those same lines, kind of just more about, you know, just kind of what people have been saying about the piece or just, you know, do you wish that you could say anything like to the readers, like additionally after you posted it or like after you published it, you know, just like additional like follow-ups or anything about it or any new thoughts that you've kind of had in terms of like the situation and like just kind of what the article was based on? Like, is there anything else that like you couldn't fit in those 600 to 700 words that you wish you could have?
I feel like there's so, like, I feel like a topic like this, there's so much that you can go on with. But no, I feel like what Tia and I said was very, like, I feel like it covered a lot of the bases, and it helps to be working with someone to kind of bounce your thoughts off of. But I mean, of course, like I said, I obviously am not coming from a place of judgment because I am the people that I'm talking about in the article. And I think it was just more about, like, examining why do we think like this? Right. Not, you know, why not you as an individual, but why do you, like, feel compelled to, you know, think about it? And of course, I think, you know, historically people have probably thought, you know, Ted Bundy and, you know, Bonnie and Clyde, like, they probably thought they were attractive too. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, you know, it was culturally less acceptable to be like, wow, this villainous and evil person is hot. And I think now it's just much more acceptable to say that. And I don't know if that's because people, one, are glamorizing, like, you know, books and TV shows with sort of like a morally gray characters, you know, like everyone loves Anakin Skywalker, like me included. But I think that that's part of it too, is that, like, TV now especially is getting, like, a little bit more nuanced with the characters, and TV shows, producers, whatever, they know what it takes to sell, and that's having an attractive villain. And I think that that just, it all kind of plays together into one big, like,
Yeah, I think that, like, when you guys talked about kind of, like, the, you know, just even, like, the, you know, even if it wasn't socially acceptable back then, even now, like, the, it's no coincidence that they're making Ted Bundy played by Zac Efron, or, like, the Menendez brothers played by these incredibly gorgeous actors. Like, even, like, just, like, even Dahmer, like, he was played by Evan Peters. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's crazy. And I feel like it's just, like, really, like, feeding into that. And I think that people see that, and, like, producers see that, like you said. And it's like, well, if we see a hot criminal, like, he's, who's going to play him in the live action thing? Exactly. Like, he's so beautiful, whatever. And I think that, like, also, like, this new obsession with true crime, and, like, sitting there and listening to true crime, like, people are just becoming obsessed with, like, I think, you know, criminal activity in a way that they weren't before. And it's like, plus this, like, sick, or not sick, but, like, insane, like, new trend of, like, editing every single person in every single way on TikTok, on Instagram, on every single way. I think it doesn't help, obviously, you know?
No. Yeah. And I mean, I think in Luigi's case, like, there definitely was more to the conversation, because not only was there, like, there was, like, lead up and build up, and obviously the fact that he comes from Penn, I think, is definitely a conversation to be had too, because first of all, no one knows what Penn is, which is, like, a very unfortunate truth. But I think the fact that he did come from Gilman, and he was, like, an Ivy League graduate, and he's this very intelligent guy, I think it made people be like, well, how could he do this? I mean, he's so hot, and he's so smart, you know, why would someone hot and smart, like, really do something violent? And I think that kind of plays back into, you know, what people think criminals are. And I think a lot of times people point to, you know, marginalized communities as, like, being criminals, and I don't think that that's always the case. I think anyone's capable of violence, obviously.
No, absolutely. I feel like there's so much more justification for him, because they're like, well, he's educated, and well, he's this, and well, he's that. And if it was someone who was not a white privileged man, like,
exactly,
I guarantee you that, no, even if he was attractive or not attractive, like, if he was not a white privileged man, like, I don't think that there would be the same reaction of, like, the justification almost for someone.
Yeah. The wealth, like, this thing absolutely plays a part in it too. Like, attractiveness is one thing, of course, but I don't see in the same way other criminals are supported as, like, Ted Bundy, the Menendez brothers, and him. They're way more supported just because of their wealth, their status, you know, their connections. I mean, I'm sure it probably shook up a lot of his community as well. I mean, Gilman is a relatively small school, so I'm sure everyone that graduated from there was like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think that as a society, we just need to realize that everyone's capable of crazy evil things.
Yeah literally, my best friend is, like, her brother's school, she went to, like, the all-girls school, like, that's, like, connected to Gilman. And she was like, nothing ever happens in Baltimore, like, this is crazy, like, this is, like, the first thing that's ever interesting happened in Baltimore. And I think that it's, like, kind of crazy, like, coming from, like, obviously, like, this background, like, so many people here at Penn obviously come from, like, prep schools and things like that, and, like, most people here were valedictorian.
Right.
Not me, but.
No, I was salutatorian, close enough.
I was third. I didn't make the cut. Guys, I didn't make the cut. It's okay. But I literally, like, so many people, like, come from these insane backgrounds. And again, like, just, you're right. Like, I think that the idea of just, like, you know, a wealthy individual who comes from a good education, good background, good family, like, it's like, I just don't understand, like, why, where the justification comes in. Like, I just, or I do understand, like, why, just because of the way, like, society is and the way that, like, people see, you know, obviously those that are privileged. But I think that it's really interesting. I really do wonder what would have happened if someone with the exact same, like, motive, the exact same, like, you know, idea and same mission were to come in, and someone who was, you know, maybe low income, who had been more deeply impacted by the healthcare system, like, would they have gotten the same reaction out of it? Or is it just because of, like, his name, his status. His
no, I think I else. Think it's absolutely like looks, name, status. And I think it just kept building. I think people were obviously like, oh, he's very attractive. But then I think when we found out his history and his background, like people just became obsessed with it. And I feel like true crime almost at this point has gotten a little too far. I mean, my mom is like the biggest fan in the world ever. And so sometimes I'll wake up in the car and it's just like, and he was stabbed 17 times. And like my personal opinion is that I don't know how healthy it is for us as like a community to be listening to like brutal descriptions of murder and mutilation and assault. I just don't know how healthy that is for us as a society, and especially to be like glamorizing it. I know that there's a lot of culture about like, oh my God, this new episode of like true crime came out, and like even when, I don't know if you saw the Karen Reed case, that was like a big case all over social media, and everyone was so interested in it as if it was like this live drama TV show playing out. And I just don't know, I feel like sometimes I go back and forth, you know, is it right for us to be making these people's lives, which there is always a victim, into this sort of like spectacle and show?
Yeah, I think so. I think that like we've become really desensitized to like violence. It's like we're so far removed from it because it's like we feed ourselves with so much of like, I like remember when someone told me like, you hear about like 500 people being killed and it doesn't, you don't even bat an eye, and like you don't even realize how many people like were impacted by like a tragedy, or even if it's just one person, like like we're so disconnected from it at this point just because we're consuming so much stuff.
Exactly, it's because like we're consuming what, 3 school shootings a week?
Yeah,
like it just becomes like, oh, that's another day. Yeah. and it is horrible, but unfortunately it's like the truth. Yeah.
And I also think that what I thought was really interesting as well is like we're so desensitized to it that we almost were like, oh, but he's being mistreated in this situation too.
Yeah.
I thought that that was really interesting. Like when they like took him out like for like the walk with like all the people and everyone was like, how could they do this? This is so unconstitutional, all this stuff, like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you're forgetting like the bare bones of this is like, again, if this was anyone else, you wouldn't care if this was happening. But it's like it's become kind of like this whole like huge thing in the media. It's like, how much press can we get for this guy? Like, and it's like, everything like that anyone does, like that, like the courts are doing, like that the police were doing in like terms of like just handling like the situation, everything just is being faced with critique instead of like being like, okay, like this is still a criminal, someone who did something wrong. Like, why are we blaming the people who are trying to like, you know, get justice for like the situation at hand, you know?
And I think like on the flip side, I mean, I think part of the reason people care about it so much is because who was the victim? A rich, white, privileged male. So I think it goes both ways. Like, I think, obviously, if this had happened to somebody else, you know how many shootings happen in Philadelphia every single day?
Yeah.
And they're not on the news. Like, I think that there's sort of something to be pointed out there. You know, Brian Thompson is this very powerful and rich man. Obviously, people are going to care when someone like that is threatened.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, like, you know, obviously, the fact that it was, like, the CEO of, like, it, like, not just, you know, not even just, like, another, it was the CEO, like, and you go about and you, like, and you do that, and it's, like, it's interesting to see, but kind of, I feel like the media is almost, like, brushed past that, almost, like, I think that, like, obviously, like, that was, like, a big deal at first, but I feel like people almost forget about, like, what actually happened, and they're just so focused on Luigi himself more than they are on, like, the, like, than Brian Thompson, like, who actually passed away. I think that that's, like, also crazy. Like, I think that you kind of, the fact that, like, it's, like, his crimes are ignored. I don't know. Like, it's just so crazy to me. I just feel like his crimes are being completely ignored, or, like, what he did was completely ignored, just because, like, I feel like there was more press about, like, the walk that they on the helicopter than there was about, like, who he actually shot. And I think that that's so weird. And I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like that before, you know? Yeah.
And I think that also people are, like I said, taking it as a sort of, like, sign, you know, we need to rebel. But it makes me wonder, you know, how is this really going to solve, you know, the deep issues within the healthcare system? And we're putting United Healthcare into a bad situation because now they've lost their CEO. And I'm not defending this person. I think that a lot of times when people get into a position like that, but I don't know that it's necessarily the individual themselves. I think it's like these systems that build up these people who, you know, abuse maybe their power. But I don't know that it's just him. And so I don't know what kind of change that did. And obviously, like, who am I to debate? I'm not the one putting Luigi in jail. But it just definitely makes you think about, like, what people consider to be a bad crime. And I think, you know, had there been a different victim, it would have been a completely different story. And he would have been a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting that you said about, like, what is this accomplishing? You know, like, because at the end of the day, like, you get rid of the head of a company, but that doesn't mean the entire thing comes toppling down. Like, nothing's changing. In fact, I feel like it just
it might actually like make the experience worse for the users of United Healthcare, because what kind of leadership are you giving them?
Exactly. I think it puts them in a really interesting position. Yeah, for sure. I think also just kind of more questions to ask, but I think, you know, just kind of, we kind of hit on a lot of the ones that I had for you, you know, but just kind of more on that, I think we could talk more about kind of public fear and like the terms of like what, you know, did this have like, there's no more, like, I feel like in his case, there's no fear of him. There's no fear of like this criminal.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really interesting.
Yeah. No, for sure. And I think that it goes back to just him being a very attractive individual.
Yeah.
I mean, and look at what he showed up to court in. I mean, I think people looked it up. It was like a $400 or $500 sweater. Like, he obviously cares a lot about his appearance. And I think that that's kind of like a general trend. People tend to trust people that are more attractive, more put together. And I'm not scared of this man. Now, when you think about another famous case, Brian Koberger, right, when he killed the four college students, people called him a monster.
Right.
Like, but there were still people that were like, he's attractive. Same with Ted Bundy. I mean, look at the vicious crimes he did, and he still has a fan base. So I don't know that people are really drawing the line, because I would love to be like, oh, well, people are only supporting him because what he did was very, like, Robin Hood-like, you know, noble, you know, taking back the power. But I don't know where people actually draw the line. And maybe it's because it's more anonymous over social media. But, I mean, I know when I have conversations with my parents, like, of course, I showed them a Luigi edit. And they're like, you know, why are you watching this? Like, he killed someone. And I think that that's also a cultural difference as well, like generational. But I don't think that anyone is afraid of people that are attractive, especially when he's about to be played by probably a very attractive celebrity.
Yeah.
I'm like already trying to think who they're going to cast.
I know. Yeah. I'm thinking about it, but I think that like that's really important to think about. Just kind of, you know, I forgot, like, you're so right, like, about the all these cases in which, if they're even remotely attractive, if they're remotely like societal standards, it's like they're wiped clean of like their slates wiped clean. And I also think that like, that's really going to be interesting. You guys talked about it a little bit in your piece about like the trial that's actually going to take place.
Yeah.
And like, how is this all, like, all this publicity, all this, you know, like, hype around this man, like, how is that really going to impact like the way that this decision plays out?
And it absolutely can. I think, you know, they can try to find a jury, but people are true crime nuts. Like, they will try to get their way. Like, they will try, even if they know all about the case, they already have their opinion. Obviously, I feel like there is a possibility that the jury could be skewed in a certain way. I'm not saying that the evidence against him is not very damning, because it is. But I think it's going to be hard to have a fair trial, especially when it was so publicized and huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, where are they holding the trial? Is it in New York?
I think it's in New York.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I feel like, you know, with systems that kind of uphold that, I think that if people, especially like higher ups that are going to be handling the case, see that the public is almost retaliating against that type, I feel like they might take their own sort of like retaliation against Luigi in itself, because like, he's sort of trying to take down a whole power structure. Or maybe he's not. You know, I think that everyone kind of creates this narrative of what he was doing as like noble, but we have no idea what his motivations really were.
Yeah, exactly. I think that it's like that people are skewing it for like their own, like, but he's so good. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
He's so good.
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't know. You're right. We don't know. Like, it could have just been that he woke up one morning and he was like, or obviously this was quite planned out, but like, he just woke up one morning and decided, well, he had like that whole like manifesto thing, right?
Yeah.
I didn't ever look into it, but I didn't feel like reading it. But like, honestly, like, I think that like, obviously this is something that was planned out. I also think like, what was his parents like? What are they? They're in healthcare in some way, shape, or form, right?
Yeah, they also own golf courses, I believe. They're in business, something very wealthy, probably.
Yeah. So I just think that like, I think just in terms of like, I think that, you know, we've seen it so many times. I always think of O.J. Simpson, like, and you guys kind of mentioned it too at the beginning, like, if he's fit, you must acquit, like, that statement, that was crazy. I think that, you know, you have a celebrity, and he's become a celebrity almost, like, even if he wasn't a pre-established celebrity, like, this made him the celebrity that he is. I think that it's so crazy that, like, I don't know, if you've watched, like, for me, like, my favorite show of all time is the American Crime Story, O.J. Simpson, like, case. So good. And I think that it's, like, crazy on how, like, everyone, like, flipped last minute. And it's going to be, like, I think it's going to be, like, a really, really long trial. And I think that it's going to be really interesting to see how it kind of plays out. Because I think that there might be some people that are like genuinely firm in their beliefs of like, okay, like let me take the evidence for what it is. And I think it's going to be really, really hard, like you said, to find like an impartial jury. Like I think it's going to be near impossible because so many people are involved. Like how could you not have seen this at this point? You know what I mean? Like I feel like you must, I mean, hopefully they find people who live under a rock, honestly, like at this point. But like if you don't know who this man is, like it was the only thing of conversation at my Christmas dinner.
No, yeah, like, me too.
I sat there and I was like, yeah, perfect. Like literally like the entire time they're like, oh, but he went to Penn. Oh, but he studied engineering. Oh my God, do you know him? And I was like, no, I didn't know him. 8 years ago. I was like, I think I was still in middle school when when he was like getting there. Like, I don't know him. I've never seen him, like whatever. But like people all of a sudden, everyone cares so much about this man.
When like, I think like people created their own life for him at Penn too. Like, oh, he's in Phi Psi. Like this is what he did. He was a frat bro and he partied and he was a normal kid just like us and so he couldn't have done this, like there's no way. And like my family was definitely like, wow, what is Penn producing right now?
I know.
Which is definitely a conversation to be had, I think. Now of course, like look at, you know, the demographic that comes to Penn, you know, obviously like very accomplished, you like a lot of our demographic is very wealthy as well, and I think that opens up a lot of room for like, I guess maybe that privilege affects people and they think that because they are attractive and because that, you know, they are wealthy and they've been treated like that their entire life, they think that maybe they're more just to like act on something like this. And obviously like all speculation, we have no idea what his motives were, but I think it was very interesting that people like, you know, they got this picture of his back surgery and they like got his random friends to be like, yeah, his back hurt and he couldn't do this and this and this. And I just wonder how much of it is like genuinely true. And again, we have no idea like what he was really trying to do with this because there's so many stories around. And that's the other thing, is it's going to be hard for a jury and whoever's building his case to kind of figure out what is actually true and what did the media just create to like make him seem better to support.
I also think like along those same lines of that you said, like kind of, you know, considering his background and stuff, I also think that considering, you know, you went to Penn, you're obviously a very intelligent individual.
Yeah.
Like, you're an engineering student. You come from a good background. Like, I feel like sometimes people here like have never heard no or feel like they can get away with anything that they want. Because it's just what has always happened.
Yeah.
And I feel like that mentality like follows you through like your whole life.
That was like a very interesting culture shock when I came here. Obviously, like I lived that small town life. So definitely a different culture than Penn, and Penn is its own kind of bubble. But I definitely feel that sometimes. I feel like people are very like hungry to just do better and better and better, which can be a good thing. But you're right. I think some people have never been told no, and maybe like he just that privilege affected his decision.
Yeah.
And like obviously like he is very intelligent and he like, I don't know what he did at Penn. There were so many things. He like started a club.
Yeah.
He was like, I've seen a video of like a robot behind him. I don't know. Very accomplished, but it does make you wonder like, how does, you know, being so smart and so powerful and being like an Ivy League elite, like how does that affect us and how we perceive ourselves?
Yeah, but it's like being as intelligent as you are, like, did you think that you were ever going to get away with this? Like, do you think that like, no matter how you spin it, like that at one point, like you're going to get, and like obviously he wasn't trying to hide his identity or anything, but it's like, do you think you're gonna get off? Like, I'm curious to think, like, does he want to be in prison? Like, does he think like, I'm gonna go ahead and serve that time in jail, like, and I'm gonna love it? Like,
he seems to be being treated very well by the other prisoners.
Oh yeah, so I've heard.
Yes, they love him over there, which is interesting too, because you wouldn't expect that. I feel like there's a lot of issues in our crime and justice system, and a lot of times the people that do end up in prison are those marginalized communities. So I feel like as a marginalized person, you know, that's in prison, I would see this, you know, wealthy Ivy League graduate like coming in here and getting all of this press and special walk, and I would be upset by that. But they seem to be
taken him under his wing, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that's like maybe because like they think that what he did is noble too, or is it just like, that's interesting, because you're right, like any other, like, I mean, again, I'm so chronically online, like I think of like Orange is the New Black, like, you know what I mean, like they thought she was like the most annoying person in the world because she was like an educated woman and like she was like, you know, came from like a very wealthy background and stuff like that, and like they were all sitting there like obviously like minority and like, you know, not wealthy, like low income people, and like they didn't treat her well, you know. Like, and I think about that and I'm like, how is it that like literally feels like Orange is the New Black, like he steps into this prison and like the exact opposite is true, and they're like, obsessed with him, and they like take him under his their wing, and they like, you know, give him like a nice haircut or something. That was like the whole thing, like that he had
like a signatory haircut
or something. Yeah. And I was like, what is going on here? Yeah. Like, this is insane.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting because, you know, you wouldn't think that attractiveness would play, like, once you get into a prison. Mm-hmm. I don't know how prison hierarchies work, but I think that that's definitely an interesting concept, like, when he would get there. And he's not even going to be there permanently. He's probably going to have to be moved to some sort of, like, shoe unit, like, by himself. But I definitely think it's interesting to wonder if he, you know, thought he got away with it. We also have no idea, like, what his mental state was at the time. You know, there's a lot of things that are just speculation because it's the media throwing everything around. No one knows anything.
Yeah, like, he himself hasn't said much. You know what I mean? Like, his lawyers haven't said anything. Like, we haven't – the trial hasn't even started, like, or, like, barely started. Like, there's no concrete story of anything. Like, there's no rhyme or reason behind it. It's literally – and that's what I think is so crazy, how much it's blown up and how much – like, we could talk about this, and we know nothing. It's
exactly.
Like, and we know nothing.
We could sit here for, like, 3 hours and talk about it, but essentially, like, we're not going to be in the room that decides. Like, mm-hmm. we're not presenting the case. None of us know anything about him or his life. We just know, like, okay, he was a frat brother, and he went to Penn, and he knows engineering. Like, so cool. Great.
I think my one of my roommates was like, he was in the club I was in. Like, she's like, he was in the club that I'm in now. And she's like, this is so weird. But, like, honestly, like, yeah, we don't know anything about him. Like, no one had heard of him before either. It's not like he was some, like, yeah, sure, maybe he made some strides, like, while he was here, but, like, it's not like his name is plastered on a building or anything.
No.
You know, like, no one knew who he was. Like, he was just like any other student here. Like, and yet he's getting all this hype. I don't know. I don't think he deserves it, honestly. Yeah.
I mean it's like, again, I have no idea what his character was. And mm-hmm. and even if he did do this, like, for a noble cause, if he thought that this was truly going to help fix or even start a conversation about healthcare inequality, like, I don't know. We'll never know.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I think that we are almost out of time for today. But we have this little tradition on Penny for Your Thoughts, which is to give a hot take every week. So I would love to hear your hot take today.
Okay. I don't know how hot this is, but I love milk. I will order it at a restaurant. Like, I will order it with anything. I don't think that there's anything that I will not have milk with. It's, like, the perfect drink, refreshing. Like, I love milk.
See, like, when you first told me this, I was like, okay, yeah, like, I'm a big fan of, like, I only drink whole milk and, like, my coffee and stuff like that. But I don't know if I could get down with, like, ordering it at a restaurant. I feel like...
No. I was a kid and I was ordering it. Now, obviously... When I was younger, my parents were like, wow, you're going to be so tall because you're drinking so much milk. Now, I've never broken a bone, so...
I mean, so it must be good for something.
Maybe it's working. Yeah, but I know. I think it's so refreshing, and honestly, like, I think it, like, when I'm really thirsty, like, nothing, like, quenches the thirst quite like milk. Water just doesn't do it for me. It has to be, like, you know?
No.
Right, okay.
Okay. I mean, it's a hot take for a reason, I guess, right?
Yes.
So, I guess that's fine. We'll take it. My hot take of the day, I mean, this one's a little bit, I feel like I really need to back this one up. I hate stripes, but only on myself. And I know that this sounds weird, but, like, for me, I always, and it's only horizontal stripes. Everyone else can wear stripes and they look cute, whatever. For me, I feel like stripes for me, I have just never looked good in them. I feel like they always, like, made me look weird. And I just was like, you know what? Like, my mom would always come home and she'd be like, look at how cute this top is. And I was like, but it has stripes. Like, I can't wear it. And she would get so pissed at me. She'd be like, why, like, literally, I'm so difficult. I would make her return stuff if it had stripes on it.
Even thick ones? Like, the big ones? Okay, oh, I feel I like those, like, are so in.
Oh, I don't like the thick ones. I prefer, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do the tiny ones. The tiny ones. Like, and I don't mind a vertical stripe because it makes you look, like, a little taller, a little elongated. Mm. But a horizontal stripe, I feel like it stretches me out this way. I don't love that, you know? It's not my thing. But, yeah, I guess that's my hot take for the week. Okay, so this has been another episode of Penny for Your Thoughts. Thank you guys so much for joining, and thank you, Piper, for joining us today. It was so great to talk to you, and we'll see you next week. Yeah.